Well, happy Saturday. I hope that you are listening to this, enjoying a wonderful Memorial Day. And just wanted to start off just giving space for a time of remembrance for those who have fallen in service of our country. I know that for many of you listeners, that is much more personal, much more tangible than many people in the United States, because I'm guessing that many of you have known comrades, shipmates, service members, brothers, sisters who have passed away in honoring their country and serving their country. And so I just want to give just a brief moment of silence on this Memorial Day weekend to honor those people and to express gratitude for the service that they've done for us, for our families, and for our country. Thank you. Well, this is an in-between episode, just a bonus between the normal interview format on Beyond the Uniform, where I talk to military veterans about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. The format for today is I wanted to spend the bulk of the time recapping a team meeting I had with Kathleen Dillon, Rick Healy, Steve Bain, Andrew Woolridge, as part of Team Beyond the Uniform, and just thinking through the course for the rest of the year. And I'll share that with you transparently, what we talked about, what we decided. And then the last portion, I'll just kind of riff on a few mindset or a few tools that I found useful that may help you. And that's just kind of a little bit more off the cuff. So let's start with the team meeting recap. So the main thing that we discussed this week was, first of all, just resetting our intention for the rest of the year for Beyond the Uniform. And we came up with three different goals, and each of those goals has kind of some sub-bullets. And I share this with you just to be transparent in where we're trying to take Beyond the Uniform, as well as to solicit feedback and reactions. And if anything resonates or doesn't resonate with you, you can always contact us with the contact form at beyondtheuniform.org. That's the best way to get a hold of us. So the first thing that we set as a priority is setting the intention of becoming the best military podcast. And I like that because I think I've experimented a little bit sloppily, a little bit haphazardly with other formats, mastermind group, coaching, videos. And I think that it's just nice for us to come back to basics, to really clear all those other things and set our focus exclusively on a podcast right now. And the five sub-bullets for becoming the best military podcast is first of all, finding really high-profile guests. We've observed that when we get exceptionally high-achieving veterans on the show, Steve Bain calls them game changers, they tend to impart a lot of wisdom, and they tend to really resonate with our audience. And so we want to continue to find these high-profile, I'm thinking of the UFC and NFL competitors, I'm thinking of Sonny Anderson from Food Network, I'm thinking of Steven Reinemann, CEO of Pepsi. These banner names really help us get the word out there and help deliver a really powerful punch to the audience. A second set, and we haven't done as many of these, but I want to do more of them, and that is guests with unique insights, and often that's not veterans. I'm thinking of Lita Citrione, who recently came on to talk about personal branding, and while she herself is not a veteran, she works with veterans on the side, but she's done incredible work in the corporate world around establishing one's personal brand. I'm thinking of Andy Chen, who was my career counselor at Stanford Business School. Having him on the show to share insights around career advice, career transition, interviewing, resumes. It's a deep dive that I think helps our audience. And so really focusing on these guests with unique insights around a skill, a career path, or some sort of valuable message as the second tenet of becoming the best military podcast. And then a third subset of that is services that benefit our audience. This is tough. We get a lot of requests for people to be on the show, but really being intentional, viewing that through the lens of which of these services most benefits our audience, which ones will, you know, obviously there's a benefit to the service of being on the podcast because they get audience and exposure, but really being deliberate of, does this serve our community? Is this a message that will help them? A fourth one, and again, I've only done a few of these. They take a lot of time to put together, but I want to set out the intention of doing more of these, is roll-up episodes. And by that, I mean we've got over 270 episodes now trying to tease out lessons from this body of content. Rick Healy had the idea of doing an episode that specifically runs down all the organizations and resources out there. Could we put together that information? It'd be a lot of heavy lifting for our team, but I think it would be valuable for the audience. I did one of these a while back about interviewing, and I took snippets from different episodes of people I remembered who gave a great elevator pitch about their background. And so I want to do more of those. I think it's a way of, it can be unwieldy for at this point to wade through the 270 episodes. I want it to tease out these insights. And then the last piece around becoming the best military podcast is helping us get more exposure. Kathleen Dillon from our team started our Instagram channel. Rick Healy joined the team to grow our social impact. And it's working. Last month, the month of April, was our biggest month by almost an order of magnitude of 2x our highest month before that. And when we were digging through the numbers, when Andrew Woolridge was putting together the data for us, it became apparent that our increased social activity is helping us get more exposure. I worked with Lita Citrion, and she wrote an article for us on military.com, and we're doing a couple more of those. I was on a few other podcasts. We want to start experimenting to share our knowledge, but also to get our audience to grow in that way. And so that's the first tenet, just really committing to being the best military podcast out there. The second one, this is a little bit more internal, but I want to be transparent on this. The second goal for us is to become profitable and to actually increase our budget so that we can expand our impact. Specifically around, I think there's some exciting things we could do with Facebook ads and LinkedIn ads and Instagram ads, ways to get beyond our core audience into others who would benefit from our message. And this is particularly important because I've heard repeatedly from veterans about how difficult it is to navigate all the resources out there to find the one that's right for them. And I'm really proud of the work that we've done at Beyond the Uniform. I know we can have value for anyone in the military, their spouses, their families, military veterans, but it can be difficult to get in front of them. So I would love to have more budget to play around so that we can get in front of more of our brothers and sisters in uniform and those who are outside of uniform but have served with these 270 plus completely free on-demand episodes. And so the three ways that we're going about that is first of all, and I want to take complete ownership of this, first of all, committing for the remainder of this year that we will find ways to charge organizations, we'll find ways to charge civilians, but we will never charge veterans unless there is a clear and undisputed way in which charging the veteran helps the veteran. And by that, I mean, there's some research where, you know, if someone pays $5 to attend an event, it increases their commitment and increases their ability to learn. But I don't foresee us doing even that in the near future. And so really, literally stripping off the website, the mastermind group, the coaching program, all of these things, is taking them away and committing to keeping this completely free for the remainder of the year for military veterans, but finding ways to monetize companies that come on the show or civilians that benefit from exposure if that provides benefit to our community. And that's the second point, finding creative ways to monetize our audience in a way that benefits them without adversely impacting them. And so that's another way of maybe within the newsletter, having some more sponsored content, maybe having more sponsored episodes, ways that provide value and helps Beyond the Uniform grow, but does so without ever impinging on the listeners, our audience, and our members of the military community. And then the last one, this is important for me personally, and the way that I've written this is if a company or individual benefits from our audience, ensure they provide money so that we can have a greater impact. And by that, I mean only balanced exchanges. It's really difficult for me and for our team. We get so many people reaching out to be on the show, to have their organization on the show, and it's hard to sift through and understand which of these benefits our audience versus which of them solely benefits the person who's on the show because they're getting more exposure. And so I really want to, it can be easy for me to give and give and give and then build up resentment. I'm trying to be proactive in saying like, okay, if someone's written a book and that could benefit our audience, but obviously they're going to get more sales of books because they're on the show, great, let's find some way that Beyond the Uniform benefits from that, because I know we could put more resources to use by becoming profitable and then also by having more budget to expand the work that we're doing. And then the last one is community. So we have the best military podcast. Second one is profitable and budget to expand our impact. Our third goal for the rest of this year is being community-centric. And what I wrote down is understand what our community needs and how we can better serve them. Only offer more than the first two points I just said if there is a clear demand from our audience. And I did that survey back in April. I appreciate all of you who filled it out. We walked through the survey results on our team call. And I really want to take that approach. If we only throw things out if it's clearly demanded from our audience. And I think that I, as a leader, could benefit more from testing ideas and circulating them before I move forward. As an artist, I love to just kind of dive in and create something new. And I really want to restrain on that and only add to the podcast, only add to what we're doing if there's a clear demand. One area that our team identified as having a clear demand is around webinars and panels. We did one that was veterans and consulting. It was well received. That was, God, over a year ago. But we want to try and do more things like that. And again, that will be completely free. But we think that that could benefit from the audience. That is the first portion of our team meeting, which is around goals for the rest of the year. Let me know if that connects with you, if that resonates, if there are things that we're not including that you think are important. If you disagree with that, open it all to feedback on that. The other portion that we talked about is being a little bit more intentional in our lineup for the rest of the year. And we got a tremendous amount of feedback from our survey. I'll share some of that with you right now. Apologies, I don't have in my notes in front of me the names of the people who requested this. I'd love to give shout outs to you, but know that if I'm recounting your idea, it's greatly appreciated, even if not directly attributed to you. So one of the pieces of feedback we got was more enlisted interviews. I agree. Part of the discussion we had around this is in the past, I have avoided this because it seemed like a lot of our audience was officers, and I didn't want to dilute that by trying to be everything to all people. But I think one of the things I was reminded of in our discussion is that when from my experience in the military, it was really beaten into us the distinction between officer and enlisted. There's this big thing around fraternization, and my first, 5 years running a company, I felt a lot of that where I wouldn't really associate with my team because it felt like fraternization. And that's not something that carries over at all in the civilian world. And so I like the thought of reinforcing in the show that there is no distinction when you take off that uniform on the other side. I'm thinking of Jacob Martinez from episode 99, enlisted Marine Corps, went on to take over his family business and do incredible things. I learned so much from that interview. And I like the thought of trying to loosen that restriction, trying to even not even care about the distinction in the interviews that we did. So I heard that feedback from several people. We are going to move forward and start doing more enlisted interviews. Another one is a panel discussion on degrees and certifications. Part of the question was around online or executive MBAs, whether it's worth time to invest in that. Other degrees and certifications will make that happen. Feedback around spouses. That's near and dear to my heart, is supporting the military family community. So how to reenter the workforce, examples of military spouse careers, ideas around careers that are portable and can be moved. Done. We're getting that slated. Another one was starting a business deep dive, such as how to establish an LLC, corporate structure, things like that. Absolutely. We could address this through clips of previous episodes, and we're also going to try and get some experts on the show to talk about things like that. Other feedback was around more executive level transition interviews, 05 plus. Absolutely. Actually, I just recorded one of those yesterday, 30-year Navy veteran, which goes into the next one, which is major prime contractors, Lockheed, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, et cetera. This person was from Lockheed, and so that will be coming out in June. Excited about that. And then operations management, program project management, we're going to be moving forward on all of those. We've gotten a lot of specific people recommended to the show. Right now, it looks like we're moving forward with about 15% of the recommendations that were made. And again, that's just part of our commitment to really be audience-centric, not just reactive, this person recommended this person, so we're going to do it, but really trying to take a hard look and think, is this exactly what our audience needs? Okay, so that is the recap on our team meeting. I just wanted to share one more admin note. Next week, I'll record it later in this week, but we'll do the June sneak peek. It's wild to think that we're already in June, but stay tuned for that episode. It'll be a short recap of just kind of the episodes that we have lined up for June. I'm still in the process of editing those, so it's not completely finalized just yet, but I'll record that episode prior to the end of May. So I have in my notes four different just random ideas that have come up to me. This is kind of around mindset, a little bit more around my personal beliefs. They do not, if this connects with you, great. If it doesn't, you know, feel free to leave it. But these were just four thoughts that I had. And one is around the value of brand names and concrete skill sets. I have been doing a lot of consulting lately. I've really been enjoying that, the independence and the rush that I get in learning something new and helping out companies. One thing I've realized, though, as I'm applying to different jobs, is I'm heavily leveraging Stanford MBA. I'm heavily leveraging the 35 Fortune 500 companies that my company Storybox has worked with. I'm heavily leveraging Microsoft, who's been a consulting client of mine for a little while now. It just reminds me of, they'll sometimes call these blue chip companies that you work for. And there is a value there. I know that there's obviously a downside, but I just wanted to call out that, if you go to the military and you work at a place like Google or Microsoft, if you work at a place like Palantir, if you work at a place with a really good reputation, Uber, Lyft, you know, things like that, there is a halo effect. In addition to learning best practices of these companies, in addition to building a network of other people who work there, having that name on your resume can be really helpful. And I've seen that in my own case when I have pretty high response rates when I apply to different consulting jobs, and they usually call out something like, oh, it's incredible that your company worked with Disney. Oh, it's incredible that you did this project with Levi's. Don't underestimate the value of that. On the other end of things, when I've been hiring, it is kind of a shortcut. It's kind of saying, well, if this person got their foot in the door at Facebook, if this person got their foot in the door to Kellogg's business school, there's something good. You know, I'm borrowing the fact that these hiring or schools, that they filtered this person out, and if they met that bar, they must be pretty good. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that that filtering mechanism is right or perfect, but I am saying that myself, on both ends, both receiving and hiring, I've seen how that subtly plays a role in my decision-making. So I wanted to tease that out, as well as the concrete skill sets. And, I say this with a little bit of regret, in that my path with entrepreneurship, while successful, it was building up generic skill sets. Like, it is that master of all, master of no skill set, or jack of all trades. And I admire, and when I see, especially in this consulting setting, when someone has a hardcore skill set of product management, project management, accounting, financial services, operations, if they've been a consultant and they specialized on consumer packaged goods, or they focused on private equity, I see that when you build up an expertise, it really does give you an edge. And there's a lot of contracts that I've applied to that I haven't gotten. And I think part of the reason for that is I don't have that clearly defined skill set. And it's something I'm still actively working to improve. But I share that with those of you who are earlier in your careers. Don't be in a rush. Don't think that you need to get where you want to be right away. You know, I really love that quote that I heard at business school, which is, we will make the most of our money in our career between age 40 and 50. And everything is just kind of lily padding, building up skill sets that you can leverage in that time. And when I look past, you know, I was 27 when I got out of the military, there's part of me that thinks like, man, I wish I would have just taken the long view on my career. Buckled down, learned operations at a great startup, buckled down and learned product management at another company, just really built up world-class tools that I could apply in whatever I did. A second idea is, this is just kind of resonated for me, and I did before marrying my wife 6 years ago, did a lot of online dating, and God, I just, all of my friends who are single, I see the way in which online dating is going now. It's just very, very big, but just dating in general. I look back, and there's an analogy here to the job search, but I look back, and when I was younger, I kind of approached each date as like, is this the person I'm going to marry? And it was like this sense of like, can I sell myself to them? What's the song and dance I need to do to gain this person's acceptance and to kind of like win them over? And later in my life, it became much more about evaluating of like, hey, like nothing on them, nothing on me. Like, is this a good fit? I don't have to sell myself. I know myself more. I'm going to present myself as I am. And I'm really going to evaluate them. Like, are they the person that I'm looking for? And there is something comforting and relaxing about not having to sell. It was literally just like, let's both be ourselves. And if this is a fit, it'll work out. And if not, we're saving both of our ourselves time and heartache. And that was definitely the way it was with my wife, Rebecca, that instant connection, that instant effortless fit. And the application here is in that job search. I can also see the ways in which I've approached a job application as, do I do the song and dance and win this job and get this offer? And I love the thought of applying the same mindset of going in prepared, having done the heavy lifting of knowing what I want and what I need, and not stressing about it, realizing that I'm evaluating the hiring company as much as they are evaluating me, evaluating this as we are both walking into this as, is this the right fit for all of us? And if not, no hard feelings. It's this abundant mindset, not the scarcity mindset, this thought that there are so many jobs out there. I don't need to worry. I don't need to stress. I'm going to find it. And I just throw that out there. I think it came up on a recent interview. I just wanted to call that out. Another one is this this interview that I just did with Chuck Collinsworth yesterday. He's at Lockheed Martin, 30-year Navy veteran, transitioned over to Lockheed Martin. And he does a deep dive on this, but it's just top of mind for me. And I really appreciated his perspective that we as military veterans often do not realize the value that we bring to the table. He talks about it being like a fish in water. It doesn't even experience water, that thing around it. And what I loved about what he said is I realized in our conversation that very often the perception for people in the military is, I did X in the military, let me do X on the other side of things. And what Chuck's path was he, you know, he was leading in many different ways over a 30-year career path. But like many of us, one component that was very consistent was there was always a component of training of training personnel. He oversaw the Blue Angels and things like that. So he always had a component of that. I think back on submarines, I'm like, yeah, I had to put together training for my division. I had to put together training for the engineering department. There was always this aspect of teaching and training. And that's the major component of what he does at Lockheed Martin. And I thought it was great because it's like what he does at Lockheed Martin is not related to being on a ship or being in a plane or being a pilot. It's not related to 1,000 things that he did to the military, but it's teasing out one component. And he talks about this as being like the collateral duties that we do in the military may be the better indication of what we go on to do. And it just struck me, I'd never thought of that, as it's very true. You know, if I tease apart on a submarine, okay, I did nuclear engineering, maybe that's one aspect. But I led a division doing maintenance. Maybe that's another component. I did our ship store, which required finances. Maybe that's something that I do. I did training for my division and the department. Maybe I do something more related to training within a company. And so I like that thought of unlocking and seeing all the millions of things that you take for granted, because you're probably thinking, well, everyone does that. Everyone in the military has this component. Great, but not everyone on the other side of the military does that. That could be your competitive advantage. So don't think of what you do for the bulk of your job. I fly planes, so therefore I'm going to fly planes on the other side. Maybe you're overseeing maintenance of your plane. Maybe you're doing the training plan for your plane. Maybe on the side, you're running the fitness program. There's so many different facets of what you do. Each of those are avenues to bring up on an interview, as well as to consider as an extension of your career. And then last thing is, I love this thought of, this is a little bit more on the touchy-feely side of things, but there's this quote that I really like that gives me encouragement. And it's this belief that life is happening for me, not to me. And regardless of your religious or spiritual beliefs, I would submit that it's a valuable mindset that, whether or not it's true, shifts your approach to problems. Life is happening for me, not to me. Another person put it this way, where it's like the belief that life or the universe or God is giving you your training plan for the day. If there's a challenge or an obstacle that you face, shifting your mindset that it's there for a reason. There's something to learn. You know, and there's no shortage of that in my own life, right? I'm getting ready for a client call, and my 3-month-old son Bodhi is crying. I can view that as a pain in the butt. I can view that as a frustration. I can view that as disrupting my plan for the day. Or I can try to catch myself and think, okay, maybe there's something to learn here. Maybe the gift in this is I'm needing to slow down. Maybe the gift in this is I'm needing to appreciate that I've got this little tiny being who's dependent on me. Maybe the gift here is to be, you know, just to enjoy the moment and the connection with my son, even though it's not the most pleasant one. And I'm not saying by any means that I'm great at this, but it's a mindset that I'm trying to adopt and instill in myself. And what I love about this is, like, regardless again of whether or not this is true, It makes me more proactive. It makes me want to suck the value out of every experience. It makes me want to try to see the positive of everything. My car breaks down. I don't get a job. You know, I love this. Maybe I don't get a consulting project. Okay, what's the gift here? Maybe this is building up my resilience. It's building up my ability to face rejection and continue to thrive. Maybe this frees me up to do something better. Maybe there's a project that's coming later today that's going to be a better fit for me, that's going to be more lucrative, that's going to be better for my network. Maybe the gift is I don't do something this afternoon and I have that time to read a book or learn something new, or spend time with my family, or maybe I'm knocking out other activities so that tomorrow I have more capacity for something bigger. And so I love that thought. I hope that helps you. And that thought is just kind of, you know, the belief that life is happening for me, not to me. And I think it's a great way to try to shift from being reactive to proactive, from shifting, you know, I often fall into this place of being a victim, to shift out of that place of being a victim to being the active participant in a choose your own adventure, where I am choosing and selecting the way that I want to approach adversity and obstacle. So I hope that helps you. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I hope you enjoy the day off. I hope that you are able to take time on Monday in some way to just create a little space to honor those who have made sacrifices for our country, for our freedom, for our families, and for those of you who have faced that loss more directly in your life. I hope that's a time to mourn that loss, to make space for grieving, and for also celebrating the life of those who lived and lived in service of something greater than themselves. Have a great week. We will be back on Monday, on Memorial Day, with our traditional Monday-Thursday format. Keep an eye out for our sneak peek. And if you haven't signed up for our ADP panel, make sure you do that as well. Take care.